Hello and welcome to our special Suds editions of Green by Nature, the podcast from Greenbelt Group by experts for experts. Suds, or sustainable drainage systems, might not sound sexy, but we're about to find out why they're absolutely vital for the future of house building in the UK. And here to help us are Alex Garrett and Neil Berwick. Alex Garrett is Green Space Development Director in Greenbelt Group, and Neil Berwick works in the Civil Engineering Department of the University of Abertay in Dundee and works as a consultant for Greenbelt Group. Over to Alex and Neil.
So what are SUDS? Well, SUDS stands for Sustainable Urban Drainage Systems. So SUDS are a requirement for new development across the UK. They've been a legal requirement in Scotland for many years. Things are changing within England and Wales, so they will be a legal requirement for all new development. What do SUDS deliver? Well, they provide a range of benefits, multiple benefits we talk about. They'll provide protection from flooding, so managing rainfall where it lands, slowing the flow and preventing rivers and sewers from flooding. They have a quality aspect, so the water that's washed off hard surfaces can have an array of pollutants within it that will eventually reach our rivers and seas. So we want to try and remove as much of that pollution as possible. And we also have the amenity and biodiversity side of the drivers. So amenity, obviously, creating attractive spaces for people to live in and around. And the biodiversity side, looking at flora and fauna and inhabits those spaces.
Greenbelt currently owns and manages just under 180 different variances of SUDS systems across the whole of the UK and in Ireland. We have a very diverse range of SUDS system. It's not always just a single pond. It can be multiple ponds. They can be linked. They can be separate, creating these wonderful habitats that residents can actually look on and see the advantage of these habitats right on their doorsteps. The biodiversity within these, especially if it's a pond, you then have the aquatic vegetation and the aquatic animals and amphibians that live in these. Massively increased when it's a pond. However, swales and basins all play their part in the overall SUDS design and specification.
Greenbelt are managing SUDS across mainland UK and Northern Ireland. And in fact, Greenbelt have come to the foreground of probably SUDS management maintenance over the last sort of 10, 15, 20 years, where there weren't any formalised agreements for how we maintain SUDS. The company itself, I think, has invested a lot of time and resource into training staff, training contractors to deliver good standards. And I think probably touching on what you were mentioning there, there's a real focus on placemaking and place setting in terms of biodiversity, making attractive spaces that can be used by people. Because obviously the bulk of these SUDS that we're talking about today are within residential development, so new housing schemes across the UK. And I think having attractive places where you want to perhaps raise your family and, you know, and spend your time relaxing and, you know, enjoying life, it's important to have well-maintained spaces. And I think that's something that Greenbelt does incredibly well. I think one thing that's changed with SUDS over the years, I mean, Alex and I have been involved with SUDS for the last 20 years or so, predominantly around residential areas. And there's been a massive change in terms of perception of SUDS, a general awareness of what they are and the benefits they can bring. But when we look sort of backwards towards when SUDS first began in the UK, there's a lot of concern about having water within the built environment, particularly near residential areas, you know, and with a focus a lot on safety, particularly drowning risk. And what we've seen over the last 15, 20 years is a change in perception of SUDS, which has been a fantastic move. We see that people are less concerned about water safety. Okay, they are concerned about water safety, but they understand the risks, and well-designed SUDS can help mitigate and eliminate those risks. What you tend to find is that people are now more concerned about maintenance and the standard of what's on their doorstep. So there's been a series of social studies on SUDS from when we were first introduced in Dunfermline in the late 90s, and then moving through to the later studies. And these studies are showing just that, that you know, the understanding and the knowledge of what suds are has increased. But again, they want to see well-maintained suds. And I think, Alex, you've got your finger on the pulse in terms of how Greenbelt maintain the public open space to suds. So maybe you'd like to come in on that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Greenbelt, a lot of these suds in these open spaces in and around the developments are right at the front of some of these properties. And yeah, the people actually see that as an added benefit and an enhancement to the property itself. It can go some way into, if not increasing the value of the property, it's certainly holding the value of the property because they have such a nice outlook. And it's an area that's going to stay that way for several years to come. You know, nothing's going to be built there. The suds is a fundamental part of the drainage system of that development, and it's certainly there to stay. And as it matures, it becomes a very, very enhanced area of landscaping in front of their development and in front of their property.
I think that's a really good point. I think particularly when you're talking about what we refer to in engineering terms as wet suds, so suds that have permanent water within them, so wetlands and ponds, in terms of, you know, really, really good for habitat potential, and when they're well maintained can really add a lot to the development, and you know, people enjoy using that space. Mm-hmm. You know, we spend time within Greenbelt attracting people to these areas rather than trying to shy them away in terms of perhaps this perception of risk. You know, the water is a resource where you can see the local bird life, so swans and many of the Greenbelt's ponds and different species of duck as well, and encouraging families to get near the water and understand a little bit more about nature and also what suds are doing there. And probably touching back to the point that you made earlier, you know, when you've got this on your doorstep, it's, you know, it's something that is functional, that is going to reduce risk of flooding, but it's also providing a larger resource. And I think that's probably what suds are about, pushing the multiple benefits, because you know, traditionally, we can move water away from an area that's going to risk a risk of flooding by just using pipework and manholes and oversized pipes and storage tanks, etc. But these don't provide multiple benefits to the community. Those attractive places, the water for recreation, for well-being, as well as the bird and plant species which inhabit these spaces.
Yeah, I mean, these, as you were saying about the pipework and everything, that doesn't actually, if everything's run through pipes, it actually doesn't improve the water quality at all. You know, the silts, etc., are still within the water course as it travels through the pipe. Putting it through these overground suds actually filters the water and allows it to be put back into the natural water course. If not, sometimes in an even cleaner state than it fell as rain several days before.
And I think that touches on some of the things that we've looked at over the years as well in terms of some of the operational problems that, you know, when you put water into a pipe or if you put pollution into a pipe, you never really find out where that has come from because it just ends up in a water course or in the sea. I think one of the advantages about suds is suds are local structures, aren't they? I mean, they're used mm-hmm. within developments. So larger developments will have more than one suds in them. So, you know, that we often refer to them as open pipe systems. So, you know, when you know, the amount of times that we've been on site and you've looked into a basin or a pond and you've maybe seen something that shouldn't have been in there. For example, sewage which has come from a wrong connection on a house, perhaps somebody's put an extension on and plumbed into the wrong pipe. Maybe people putting pollutants such as paint or oils down gully pots. And again, traditionally these would just end up in the sea, but when you have suds, you know, you can see them locally, and when you can see that pollution, you can actually take action to try and track that back. You know, if you've got a problem with a cross connection of sewage coming to a suds pond, which shouldn't be there, you can work your way up the network and identify where that source is coming from and then rectify it. So these are, you know, a range of benefits that we have by having water close to us and this visibility. So rather than being a problem, it's actually it's an opportunity. We know that in terms of climate change, you know, winters are getting wetter, summers are getting wetter, we're seeing a lot more rainfall, we're moving towards, we build more houses, there's always a demand for housing, New housing obviously requires infrastructure, and part of the infrastructure that goes with that is the drainage system, and suds form part of that. So suds are effectively, if you like, supersizing your pipe systems. You know, that traditionally we've managed the rainfall events. Suds are most of the time above ground open features that are providing additional volume of rainfall storage that can help slow the flow. And as we move towards new houses, we see the requirement for suds. And within Scotland, legally, there's a requirement for suds to be used for every new development. In Wales, that changed in 2019 with the suds approval bodies requiring suds for all new developments. And in England, we're still awaiting the finalisation of Schedule 3 of the Flood and Water Management Act, which is obviously about ensuring that suds are a requirement for all new development. I mean, I can jokingly say in Scotland we've been doing suds for many years. In fact, suds began in Scotland, in the UK. So, you know, there's been a lot of learning through that process, you know, and not just in Scotland. We've seen how design has evolved over the last sort of 20 or 30 years. You know, we tend to understand how suds are designed from a hydraulic perspective, so we can reduce risk of flooding. But in terms of how we detail them, in terms of making them very good for environments, how do we make them more attractive? How do we make them rich in biodiversity? How do we make them somewhere that you would want to live in and use as a recreational space? You can travel around the UK and find examples of good and bad suds, like you probably could with all infrastructure. And I like to think that the good suds are becoming more and more common as the knowledge is developed. But again, a lot of it is linked with good maintenance and good management. You know, you can design a fantastic suds, but unless there's that aftercare and that knowledge of what you're doing and why you're doing and when do you need to do it and what do you need to do when it goes wrong, or how do you prevent it going wrong, is obviously quite important. You know, you see that difference. So I mean, I travel all across the UK inspecting drainage, and you know, you will quite literally see everything from the good to the bad to the plain ugly. And it's, I think it's encouraging when you see more focus on suds. There's much more focus in the media on suds. Obviously, that's predominantly driven by flooding. It should be said that suds isn't a silver bullet that will solve all flooding, but should be used with all urban development, including roads and houses and factories, etc., to help manage what happens when it rains. And again, if we can have more and more focus on suds and more focus on the maintenance of them, I think we'll continue to see the benefits of using the type of infrastructure.
I mean, you mentioned a lot about them making sure that you know, the design is so important. But what we've also found at Greenbelt is that adopting them in the correct condition, it actually is essential for them to operate going forward. And that is one of the issues that we sometimes have, is that they, you know, before we take on a suds, there sometimes is an element of remedial works that's needing done before we take them on from the developers, so that we know that the condition of the suds upon adoption is that it's a properly functioning suds as per the design was intended. And that can take a little while to get it, because it, quite often, according to planners and local authorities, they're looking for these sud systems to be implemented right at the beginning of developments. But what you then find is that there's an element of wear and tear, silt build-up, etc., within these suds until the point of handover, and then that needs to be addressed before they come to Greenbelt. So it is a difficult situation from an adoption point of view to make sure that these suds have the storage capacity and they're in good working order at the point of handover before Greenbelt starts to manage and maintain them on the long-term aspect.
Yeah, I think, you know, really what you're driving at there is fit for purpose. You know, they need to be fit for purpose. The design needs to be correct, the implementation needs to be correct, and particularly as you mentioned, that handover phase, it's critical that you don't have any snagging or any remedial works that are required. It may be siltation. Sometimes the suds can be used as, if you like, a temporary basin to deal with site runoff to trap it, but that's fine, that's perfectly acceptable. What we need to do is remember to empty the silt out of them and then reinstate the vegetation, etc., and all the correct levels, because drainage like pipework, is all to do with levels. Water only flows downhill. You know, you need to make sure that these things are operational. But that focus on aftercare, I think it really is important, isn't it? And I think that what's quite interesting is the bulk of suds, not all of them, but the bulk of them are vegetated systems. And we've talked about why that gives that great feeling of place making and place setting, that well-being that you have as well. But people also need to be aware that, you know, these systems and the vegetation takes a bit of time to mature as well, because when you've implemented your basin or your pond, you know, at the start, it's going to start off being brown because it's earthworks, and then you're going to seed it, you're going to put your structured planting around it, you know, and then it will start to grow in. And you tend to find that suds will mature over time. And this is as something that deals with operation and maintenance of suds. It's something that I'm particularly interested in and I enjoy speaking with people about, because it is about people understanding how the suds going to change over time. So if you have, for example, a shallow wetland that once it's implemented, you know, you'll have grass banks, etc. You might have maybe sort of 300, 400 mils worth of permanent water within the structure itself. And people think, oh, that's great, and the ducks and the swans might be here, etc. But over time, very quickly, you'll see that begin to be colonised with wetland species plants and emergent plants in the margins. And that will obviously move more towards a wetland, because ponds only remain as ponds when the water is a certain depth to prevent vegetation from growing. So you have this sort of transformation of the suds and the vegetation of the suds starting to mature. And that's a joy, I think, when you see the plants starting to come in and they're being properly maintained. So you have planting for colour, you have planting for biodiversity, you know, you'll have the planting which will help remove the physical pollutants or uptake some of the pollutants within the water itself. And the suds will progress over time. But I think you probably touched on earlier, it's important that we don't just, right, okay, the suds are in and we don't do anything with them. They're nice and green and we leave them for 20 years, because obviously that then will become an issue as well. It is important that they're regularly inspected and regularly maintained, with that focus on what needs to be done at the right time to ensure good biodiversity, good usable standards, and ultimately the suds remain operational at all times. And I think that can only be achieved by having a good management plan and ownership structure where you have people that will inspect that, and you also have contractors that can deliver that. And again, we've touched on it, but the contractors actually understanding what they're doing and why they're doing is paramount. You know, the training sessions that we deliver for contractors across UK for Greenbelt allows them to understand how suds work, what the key component parts are, how they're maintained and why you maintain them. And I think that makes a massive bit of difference, where you can get onto a site with the guys and the girls that are cutting the grass and pruning the trees and doing the suds work in and around ponds and basins. And, you know, on effectively just a face-to-face basis, you're explaining how it's working. What is that there? Why do you think that's here? Looking at things that are problems. And then you suddenly get that feedback, don't you? You get that, oh, yeah, I've got a site like that that's got this, or that's happened, and how do I stop that? And I think that's one of the things that Greenbelt delivers very well, that in-person training. You're not sat in a classroom learning about something. You know, you're actually, there is an element of that, but, you know, you're actually out on the site and you're looking at the practical side of what could be good or bad maintenance. Sometimes maintenance is can be ineffective. Sometimes you're doing too much maintenance or too little maintenance. Yeah. So I think it's been out and be able to engage the contractors, because at the end of the day, if you're going to spot operational issues with a drainage system, it's the person that's most often on the site that will probably spot that. You'll inspect maybe monthly and annually in different levels of inspection. These are all snapshots, and that's great, and you need that for your asset management. But the contractors are on site. They need to have that knowledge and understanding of what these things are and how they operate. And in actual fact, they'll be the person that phones you up and says, actually, I've got a problem with this pond. And it's because, and they'll tell you, and then they'll flag that to you or your ROM, and they'll go and investigate. And lo and behold, you've managed to identify and resolve an issue before it becomes a big issue. And I think that's one of the really good things that you're going to get through a very structured maintenance plan of drainage assets as Greenbelt delivers.
Absolutely. I think some of the I mean, Greenbelt, we've been managing suds now over 20 years, and that what you learn over that sort of time scale and on how they operate and how you need to manage and maintain different aspects of them is invaluable, really. It's we have a far, far better understanding of the management and maintenance that's required to the various items within a system. That knowledge is passed from, I mean, I've been with the company now 19 years, and I'm now passing on some of the suds knowledge that I've gained over the years to new people coming into the company, as well as them getting their training as well. It's just reiterating, constantly talking about it.
Think on the whole education side, we've touched a little bit on speaking with people that live on sites, residents. We've talked about, dealing with local schools and primaries and getting them involved and understanding things. But as you know, I mean, I like to wear different hats. I work for a university, so I think one of the benefits about delivering the service level agreement with Greenbelt over the last 18 years or so, or whatever it's been, it's been just that experience of regularly being on site and seeing how things work and how things operate and how they're maintained. What are the challenges with suds maintenance? What are the real challenges? We have lots of good guidance within the UK and publication and online, but I think a lot of it is just doing the work, being on site. How are things working? How are they operating? What do we need to do more of? What do we need to do less of? And the thing that I enjoy is we experience that practical side, but it's almost like a feedback loop because that information then comes back to university and is then included within our teaching and our dissemination of knowledge. So, I think the benefit between the agreement between Abertay University and Greenbelt Group is it's a very, very good partnership. The university delivers a high-level specialism advisory service for Greenbelt. We help to develop knowledge and experience within the company, but it also benefits the university because we are looking at how suds work, issues that are arising all the time, and that put together with all the other suds work that we do throughout the university with local authorities, with consultants across the UK, it helps us really deliver a very good and up-to-the-minute knowledge of what's going on in suds in the UK. And I think, you need to progress knowledge, if you want to be at the forefront of your field. You need to be up to date with things. And universities are great, but you need to see the practical side of the world as well. Academic knowledge is great, but practical experience is good. And putting the two together is fantastic. And I think that's something that is a major benefit that I've seen delivered through the partnership with Greenbelt over the years. I'm very happy, very proud to have been involved with that.
Yes, Greenbelt certainly has relied on Abertay over the years for in a few instances where we've been at cross lines just for clarification on the exact correct way to go ahead and take things forward, and we invited you in, and you've certainly assessed things and given us your opinion in an advisory service and an advisory capacity. So it's certainly worthwhile having that, and I'm sure the Abertay relationship with Greenbelt will continue for a good while to come.
I think one of the other things as we sort of move towards the end is probably thinking about, being able to travel across the UK and see different parts of the UK and meet different people in the different sites and get rained on in every single part of the UK as I do my work. It's been a fantastic advantage. But, they do say, joking aside, that the best time to see a drainage asset really is when it's raining. So I'd like to cite Scotland and Wales probably being the best areas in the UK for inspecting suds.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the fundamental aspects I think of any new development coming over to Greenbelt would be the sooner we can get on to, especially the sud systems on site, the sooner we can get on, get managing them and maintaining the open space around them, the better it is for everyone, for homeowners and developers and Greenbelt alike. So much can happen within a small window of time, if it's been formed on site, but the sooner we can get that handed over and managed and maintained correctly, I think is essential to the development and the suds maturing the way it was intended, and how the landscape architects envisaged them to be. From a whole point of view of monitoring from the silt management, especially when the development is still under construction, I think it's important that someone is overseeing and monitoring it to make sure that there's the least amount of silt getting passed into these systems while the development is maybe still in construction. So early handover is certainly something Greenbelt tries to get on every development, if at all possible. I don't know if you've had much experience from that side, Neil, where you've seen both sides, an early handover and one which is at the other end of a development and the problems that can cause.
I think the key driver is really looking after the suds as soon as they're constructed. That will involve early accessing by the owner maintainer or the maintainer, ensuring that things are correct and remain as they are. So I think we're talking predominantly about horticulture here, that you want to make sure that what you've planted is what you're going to end up with. We've all seen the sites where the infrastructure goes in at the start of the build, and very little is done on it as we produce the houses, and looking then towards getting that area adopted or up to a standard to be adopted. And a lot of the time, if there hasn't been a lot of focus on it, it can involve quite a lot of resource to get it back up to standard. Good practice would be get in early, maintain early, and ensure that you have something that you would want to manage at the end of it.
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing I would add is the advantage of having Greenbelt in early is that they are aware of suds, they're knowledgeable of suds, they're actually quite good at spotting problems that perhaps are there that haven't been picked up, that might be picked up later on. So again, early intervention is beneficial. Get something, fix it, and don't let it become a big problem at the end.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the things Greenbelt offers to all housing developers on new sites is that even if the management and maintenance model that's planned for the future can't actually start, there isn't enough houses built yet to fund the management and maintenance of certain areas, then Greenbelt will operate as a contractor, as part of our delivery strategy, that we will manage and maintain areas under contract to the developer, and that allows an easier access and a quicker access and handover to the mechanism that's in place, be it green space billing or pent adders or something else that's there for the long-term management and maintenance. Greenbelt's certainly there to help all developers on all sites, especially from a suds point of view. We are experienced, why not use us?
Many thanks to Alex and Neil for sharing their expertise and experience in suds. Don't miss our bonus section where Alex and Neil discuss education and evolution through their first-hand experiences of two award-winning developments. You can find out more about Greenbelt Group, the UK's leading land steward, at greenbelt.co.uk.